those folks who are within the church have a higher level of behavior expected of them by God Himself. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio, and thank you for joining us here today. That expected behavior has nothing to do with salvation, but is about how it reflects on the family that a believer is a part of. Christians are to reflect the person of Christ in how they behave, so our conduct is under divine scrutiny. Why don't you turn with us to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians today, and here's Pastor Jim to get our study underway.
Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is one of those difficult passages of Scripture, not difficult to understand, but difficult in its implementation and its application to our lives today. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to begin reading a part of the last chapter, that is chapter 4. I want to start at verse 14. Just a moment ago, we watched a father baptize his two children, his firstborn daughter and his firstborn son. Because we know that dad and the sweet wife he married, we would predict that those children have a fantastic advantage of coming to know and to love and to serve Jesus Christ, because they'll see it played out in the lives of mom and dad. But there will be moments when dad will have to say some stern things, because they're not raising their family in the Garden of Eden before the serpent. They're raising their family in a hostile environment, an environment that is orchestrated, designed, and energized by a deceiving, lying, cheating, powerful spirit and his envoys. And he's out to destroy those two children and their parents. The Apostle Paul, though not a biological father, finds himself in that same relationship with the church at Corinth and with the church here in Columbus. He speaks to us this morning as our faith father. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. He's got some tough things to say. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Verse 16, therefore I urge you, be imitators of me. Verse 19, I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will know, I will examine not the talk, but the walk of those who are inflated with pride. For the kingdom of God is not in talk, but in walk. Now, if your text reads power instead of walk, it's accurate. But what Paul is saying is the power of God in the gospel demonstrates itself and authenticates the gospel by its expression in transformed human conduct. The kingdom of God is not in talk, but in walk. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is widely reported that there is sexual immorality among you, the kind of sexual immorality that is not even condoned among the Gentiles. A man is living with his father's wife, and you are inflated with pride instead of filled with grief, so that he who has committed this act might be removed from among you. For though absent in body, but present in spirit, I have already decided about him who has done this thing as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are assembled along with my spirit and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, turn that one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast permeates the whole batch of dough? Clean out the old yeast so that you may be a new batch, since you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us observe the feast, not with old yeast or with the yeast of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in a letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, by no means referring to this world's immoral people, or to the greedy and swindlers, or to the idolaters. Otherwise, you would have to leave the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, who is sexually immoral, or greedy, an idolater, or a reviler, a drunkard, or a swindler. Do not even eat with such a person. For what is it to me to judge outsiders? Do you not judge those who are inside? But God judges the outsiders. Put away the evil person from among yourselves. Let your eyes go down, please, in chapter 6 to verse 9. Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, no idolaters, no adulterers, no male prostitutes, no homosexuals, no thieves, no greedy people, no drunkards, no revilers, and no swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Some of you were like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What a sobering passage. What is my responsibility if my neighbor in the pursuit of happiness? Does that sound familiar? The Statement of Independence declared that we are convinced that every man is created equal and is endowed by his Creator with certain inalienable rights. That's a pretty high, lofty court of appeal. Among those rights, the framers of the Declaration said, among those rights which are endowed by my Creator is liberty and the pursuit of happiness. If my neighbor's pursuit of his personal happiness leads him into the abuse of children or the murder of another or the butchering of an unborn babe in its mother's womb. If that's where her pursuit of happiness leads them, what is my Christian obligation? And what should be my response? Our country is torn apart by that question. Some think my responsibility is to change the government. What's Paul's response? God's response in answer to that question from the pages of the scripture we've just read. Oh, Father, as we contemplate these things today, give us insight and direction. Give us understanding and courage. Help us to recognize the insiders and outsiders. Help us to understand how we move from outside to inside. And help us to understand the huge responsibility that comes with being an insider. Above all this, grant us a deeper understanding of the privilege that is mine to be an heir of salvation through the sacrifice of my Passover, Jesus Christ. And help us today to leave instructed and motivated to be the body of Christ in the midst of a people who serve as the body of Satan. Receive our gifts and offerings and use them to carry forward the only power of God unto salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the good news of transforming power that He alone can give to people who are trapped in the slavery of sin and the servitude of Satan and cannot help themselves. Open this passage to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the passage before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul embraces four huge topics. We will deal with them in these four Sundays. The first has to do with discipline within the church based upon a higher moral standard of conduct of those within the church than is expected of those outside the church. It is a deep passage, takes us to the edge of mysteries that we cannot sound. They are too deep, but they are real. The second takes us to the subject of the system of courts outside the church, the use and abuse of those courts for settling disputes among Christians. The third takes us to a discussion of the oldest profession on earth, the abuse of sexual powers. And the fourth topic answers the question, how can sex be holy? Your quietness is appropriate response to those highly volatile subjects. You cannot move through this passage without understanding that Paul is speaking as a father. He's not speaking here as a harsh judge. He's speaking as a father who is concerned about the welfare of his spiritual children. He has made it very clear in the passage that there are insiders and outsiders, that not everybody who is my neighbor is a member of the kingdom of God. And some, by their choice of preferred habit and disobedience to God's moral laws, make it more obvious that they are not inside the kingdom of God. He has also said that there is a group of people who are in the kingdom of God. They are the insiders. And there's a different expectation placed upon them. First note, all of us were born into the outsiders, the kingdom of darkness. You see that in chapter 6, beginning there in verse 9. Do not be deceived. And he goes through a list of notorious behaviors that exhibit the absence of the grace of God in the lives of these people. He says, no sexually immoral people, no idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, none of them will inherit the kingdom of God. Tough pill to swallow. God said it. Paul didn't invent that. And then immediately he says, and some of you were like this, were. Now the reason he said some is because not all of the Christians in Corinth had found expression of their sinful nature in these particular sins that are enumerated. It's not saying that some of the people in Corinth were born into the kingdom of God at birth. It's saying that some of the Christians in the Corinthian church were not involved in these specific areas of rebellion and sin. But all of them, whether through these sin choices or others, were born in sin. That's the fundamental problem with man. It's not a lack of education. It's not a lack of financial resources. It's not a lack of freedom or opportunity or liberty. Man, you, me, our fundamental problem is we are born with a rebellious attitude and active expression of selfishness against God and those around us. We want to be God. And we want to run the world according to our own twisted preferences. That's what the sin nature is. And it's inbred in us. And only a miracle of God can release us from that powerful, controlling urge the Bible calls sin. And Paul notes that. He says here in verse 11 of chapter 6, some of you were like this, but you were washed. He's talking about an experience of having a spiritual bath where all of that defilement and all of that distortion is removed from you. You were not only washed, you were sanctified. That's talking about being placed in a new relationship, in a new life, where you are set apart and equipped and energized to live according to God's standards. That's not all. And you were justified. That means that God both forgave all of your sins and gave you a clean slate and then gave you his imputed righteousness. Three powerful words. Paul says, that's how you moved from being an outsider in the kingdom of darkness under the dominion of Satan, slave to sin. That's how you move from there to where you are now an insider in the kingdom of God, a citizen of God's kingdom, a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're an insider, it's not because you were born to a privileged parent. It's not because you had any special merit, but by the grace of God, you responded in faith to God's offer of transformation in the gospel, and through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, through the coming of the Holy Spirit into the world, you opened your heart to truth, and God transformed you and made you a new person and moved you from an outsider to an insider. That's step number one. So if you're an insider, if you're a member of the kingdom of God, you got there because God transformed you. And he transformed you as you responded by faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what should your conduct be? Well, look over at chapter 5, verse 9. Now, he's writing to the insiders. He says, I wrote you a letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. By no means was I referring to this world's immoral people or to the greedy and swindlers or to idolaters. you'd have to leave the world. You'd have to retreat to some cave someplace to escape interaction with people who have chosen and are held prisoner to these sinful habits that express themselves in the distorted character that's defined by those words. You'd have to get out of this world. Paul said, that's not what I meant when I wrote that letter. What I meant was, verse 11, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, who is sexually immoral, greedy, idolater, reviler, drunkard, swindler. Do not even eat with such a person. Oh, when you were transformed from the outside to the inside, a new responsibility was given to you. You became a new creature. You became a citizen of God's kingdom. And in your association with other people who have had that experience of being transformed, you have an obligation to help them in their walk of faith. And that obligation is when they who profess to be insiders behave like outsiders, you are not to give them comfort or company in their behavior. Period. Tough. Since a part of our family is in the medical profession, I think a lot about hospitals. I remember a story of someone going to the dentist and saying, Doc, I'm sorry I didn't brush my teeth. And the dentist saying, that's all right, I'm not going to wash my hands. Germs are dangerous. And before the doctor can open the cavity of your body and do good, he has to isolate you from all the potential damage of virus, germs. And so careful preparation is made that the surgical bay and everything that's used to invade your body is sterile. You expect that. Your health depends upon that. Same thing is true with moral issues.
If you're a Christ follower, you need to look like Christ. Believers are under an obligation to lift up and help other believers. If you continue to behave as the world behaves, you fail at that responsibility. In fact, you are undermining the faith of new, weaker believers. Strong, mature believers will warn and then cease fellowship with those who continue in a sinful lifestyle while claiming the name of Christ. These daily lessons are available in single CDs, so if you would like a copy for your own home library, we have those available. Today's lesson is titled Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. And for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you this single lesson. Our complete series on Living Like It Matters to God is available in a 10-disc set, and that's for your gift of $39 or more. There are several ways you can place your order. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or you can order on the internet when you log on to rightstartradio.org. Our website features an archive of past programs and complete uninterrupted sermons. This daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast at iTunes. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Remember, too, that Right Start is listener-supported. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening today. It's always good to have you here. And plan now to join us again on Thursday at this same time for our next edition of Right Start.